Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to The Tonight Show, where we host the last TV debates of the referendum campaign. First tonight, Justice Minister Helen McEntee and Independent Senator Michael McDougall will debate the family amendment. Then later, the Minister for Education Norma Foley and ANPU leader Pather Tobin will debate proposed new text providing recognition for care. And later, end of the road for Republican Nikki Haley as she bows out of the race for the White House, ensuring an historic rematch between Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
In the family referendum, voters will be asked to vote on whether they want to approve the 39th Amendment to the Constitution. That would mean amending Article 41.1 to insert the words after family, whether founded on marriage or on other durable relationships. A yes vote would also alter Article 41.3.1, which says that the state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage, to remove the following words, on which the family is founded. Well, I'm joined now by Justice Minister Helen McEntee and former Justice Minister and Independent Senator Michael McDougall. You're both very welcome along to the programme tonight and to this debate, the final TV debate, we said, as before people go to the polls on Friday. I want to come to you first, Minister, on this. When we look at the proposed changing, the constitutional protection of the family would be given to both the family based on marriage and the family founded on other durable relationships. What is the objective of the proposed change? Is it largely symbolic, a recognition of different types of families in this country? Or will there be real tangible rights afforded to people?
We're doing two things with this vote. So firstly, we are protecting the family that is based on marriage, and that's very clearly outlined. We're restating the special position that families based on marriage have. But we're also doing another thing. We're bringing our constitution in line with the world that we already live in. It is already the case that our law recognises lone parents. It's already the case that our laws recognise perhaps grandparents who, for whatever reason, have had to bring up their grandchildren. The law already recognises couples who are cohabiting, whether they have children or not. And most importantly, we, all of us, already recognise these families. Where they are not recognised is in our constitution. So by voting yes, we are for the first time ever saying to these families who, as I said, are already recognised by law and by all of us every day, that the constitution now recognises them as a family in the way that it hasn't before. But it's very clear as well, this does not remove the special protection that families based on marriage have. In fact, people will be voting to reinstate that and to restate that particular fact.
All right, OK. Michael McDougall, to bring you in here, do you accept that the change is being proposed to reflect the reality of the makeup of families of this state, that not every family is founded on marriage, that 40% of children are born outside of marriages in this country, that this reflects contemporary society?
Well, I accept what Helen has just said about the idea that the Constitution and the courts already protect single-parent families and grandparent-grandchildren relationships and accord to all children equal rights and equal protections under the Constitution. And therefore, the real question is, and I think you put it to the minister there, are there any new rights for these people? And the answer is no, there aren't. But what there is, it is being suggested, is that there is going to be recognition for them. Mm-hmm. But recognition is largely just a piece of political rhetoric. And what I'm worried about, and I've always been worried about in all of this, is that introducing the notion of families based on durable relationships and saying that they are also families gives rise to a number of unforeseen complications which will lead to legal chaos.
Being what?
And I'll give you an example. If you have a single mother with a child and a man and her get together and have another child, if we say that she was in a family of her own before she started, and then he and she form a second family and there's two children in that family and it's a durable relationship, there are already tensions there. But if he leaves that group and meets another partner and has a child with her, which is a durable relationship, you have three families in existence. And the problem is that as between those families, there will be disputes as to rights to property, rights to maintenance. And all of these things are going to spill over into a deeply unsatisfactory legal situation. Now, the term durable relationship, the government has consistently said that it's going to be determined by courts, not by by the Oireachtas. And we in the Seanad put down an amendment saying that any durable relationships must be defined by law. And that was rejected by Minister O'Gorman, leading to this massive uncertainty.
Right, let's talk about this phrase and these two words, durable relationships. How was that phrase arrived at, Minister? And why no clear definition before going to the people?
Well, firstly, the families that I've mentioned that we all recognise in law and that we know ourselves, they're not protected by the Constitution. They're not recognised by the Constitution. They are in law. And what we're doing is simply actually bringing our Constitution in line with our law. The particular situation that Michael's outlined here, I mean, it is already the case that families change, that relationships change, that children are born with different parents. That's already the case. And we have very clear laws around succession. We have laws around taxes. We have laws that already exist, irrespective of the Constitution. So to suggest that by changing our Constitution to recognise these types of families that are already protected by law, that suddenly it's going to open up a Pandora's box. It's absolutely not the case. Our Constitution, when changed by a Supreme Court judge, they have to look at what is the common good and what was intended by the changes here. And we are very clear, government is very clear, what's intended is that we would recognise families in a way and that hasn't been before.
You've spoken, Minister, about recognition and, you know, recognising that change within the Constitution. But ultimately, it's being left up to the courts to decide what a durable relationship is. Would legislative guidance not be helpful here?
So the minute you define something and define that so specifically, what we're talking about here in our Constitution, you start looking at what's not in it. The minute you start defining it, the race is on for, well, what have we not included in it? It's already a defined term in our courts. And Michael knows this. Durable relationship has already been defined. It's a relationship where there is commitment, where there is intention for it to be long lasting, where that's how it's presented to society. And that's how society
accepts it. But you're not going to say that legislatively.
Because it's already in case law. So you don't have to reflect that in constitution.
Well, unfortunately, that's not really the case, because Minister Roderick O'Gorman said that durable does not mean the same as it means in decided case law at the moment. He said it has a different meaning, a separate meaning, a constitutional meaning. And that's you can find this out online. You can see him saying this. And the point about it is that most people know whether they're married or not. You know whether you're married. I know whether I'm married or I'm not married or whatever. And if I'm married, the only way that my marriage can be dissolved is by a divorce. And I can't get a divorce unless I get a court order, which cannot be made unless I have looked after the spouse and children that I'm leaving behind me. This new arrangement will announce that there are families where a partner can simply leave, and there is no protection for the constitutional protection like there is for people in the case of divorce.
But to the point that the minister is making, that there's already these cases, they've already been through the courts, and there has been, you know, progression through the courts on this, and what the Constitution is doing is recognising that. I mean, when it comes to how it's interpreted, because your chief concern here is simply that it's not defined and now it's up to the courts to decide, do you not trust the courts to be able to handle this?
No, well, I mean, for instance, Helen said, you know, succession is dealt with by statute, which is correct. Up to a point, the statute has to conform with the Constitution. But I'll give you an example. If somebody dies intestate without making a will, his spouse gets everything, right? That's the law at the moment. If two cohabitants are in that situation, that is not necessarily the case. And if you're going to have two separate people who are in a family relationship with a man who suddenly dies without making a will, it'll be for the courts to decide whether the Succession Act of 1965, which deals with these matters, is just and fair to the woman who gets absolutely nothing, having lived with a man for 15 years, whereas the wife he left 17 years ago gets all of his estate.
OK, we're trying to kind of keep up with the case studies here and I suppose what may be coming before the courts. But what's your response to that, Minister?
There will always be different cases. There will always be different scenarios. That is already the case now. And we have very clear succession laws. People can leave wills or not. And there are already ways to decide that, whether it's through the courts or not. You have to take it back to what are we actually trying to do here? We are updating our constitution to make sure that it's in line with the way we live our lives. Like, what is a durable relationship? I know couples who are not married. For whatever reason, they've decided not to. Some of them have children, some of them don't. I see them as a family. In the eyes of the law, they are a family. But in our constitution, they are not. I do not want us to wake up the morning after the referendum knowing that we had a chance to recognise these families in our constitution and we decided not to. How can we tell over 1 million people that they are not as important or the same? It doesn't in any way demute the rights of those who are a family based on marriage. In fact, it actually restates that position where in our laws now they currently have an advantage, you could say. That won't change.
So you don't
that.
Believe there's going to be fresh confusion in the courts and that this change will, in essence, change what's already there? That, yes, there are succession rights and you keep referring to the fact that, you know, there are cases that have been before the courts and the courts have dealt with them. But that this, I suppose, adds another facet and another layer of complexity to what the courts are dealing with.
Government makes law. That will always be the case. And yes, it will be the case that you will have decisions taken. But I'll give you an example now. There was a recent Supreme Court ruling which ruled that a gentleman who had been living with his partner for decades while they were not married, he was entitled to his widower's pension. Now, that's not reflected in our constitution. So why would we say when we have an opportunity to bring our constitution in line, our Supreme Court judges are not going to start making outlandish decisions around types of relationships that are clearly not durable, that we don't see every day of our lives, the 1 million plus, the 40% of children that you've mentioned, these are the families that we're talking about. But the reason that we haven't defined it, the minute you define something in our constitution, while we amend it quite regularly, it's very hard to change and you start excluding people the minute you do that. I trust our courts to be able to make that decision. I also trust that if people and when they vote yes on Friday, that things are suddenly not going to change where every single one of our tax laws, our succession laws, all of our laws are going to be turned on their head. It's not happened in the past. It's not going to happen now.
All right. What would you say to that, Michael McDougall, about the practical impact of this?
Well, I say it is bound to have practical impacts. And I deal with that situation of the woman who is living with the man for 15 years and gets nothing, but it's the wife who left him 17 years ago. No divorce there. She collects the entire estate. What the Supreme Court will do, as it did in the O'Mara case, is say, this is unjust. This is an unfair discrimination between this woman and that woman. And they are going to say you have to change the Succession Act to accommodate that.
Right. But can I ask you specifically on that? Because doesn't marriage still have a special place within the Constitution and safeguards that remain in place when it comes to marriage? That right. It is afforded a special place, whereas a durable relationship doesn't?
Well, the funny thing about the O'Mara case is that the present Attorney General sent his counsel into court and claimed that the special position of marriage was a good reason why Mr. O'Mara couldn't get the widower's pension. And the Supreme Court rejected that by reference to equality rights and the children's rights. And I'm saying that once you move to recognising three separate transient relationships, all as families, all with constitutional status, you are going to have chaos and you're going to have disputes and going to have unanticipated results which will lead to complete uncertainty at the heart of our legal system.
I mean, that's the question being put, that there is a lot of uncertainty around this because it is not it has not been defined by legislators before people have to vote on that. Would you agree that this has led to confusion among voters as well?
I think there'll always be an attempt to confuse things when it comes to a referendum or to have different information out there. But we are very clear, I'm clear, my colleagues are clear, government is very clear. This is not about changing succession laws. It's not about, you know, removing any type of disputes that already exist among families, and that will always be the case. But it is already the case that the types of families that we're talking about, the families we all know, they are not recognised in our constitution. And they should be. I firmly believe that they should be.
Are you satisfied that the insertion of durable relationships won't arise in a range of family law disputes, as we, as Senator McDougall is saying, and taxation issues for government? Like, has this been discussed in detail before you came up with this amendment?
Absolutely, and we've spent months looking at this. This is not something that has just come out of thin air, the language that's been used. It's not something that was just plucked for no reason. It's been very clearly defined, as I've said, in our courts, what a durable relationship is. And what we're trying to do here is not amend tax laws or succession laws or even immigration laws that have been suggested. I mean, people are saying now that there's going to be a massive influx of people seeking family reunification. Our laws are very clear on immigration. Right. They're very specific and very narrow for a reason.
Can I ask you about that, Minister? Because your party colleague, Neil Richmond, said when speaking about this referendum that it has serious consequences, particularly when we think of immigration law and proving that someone is a family member or in cases of family reunification, that it will have consequences.
So our immigration law is set out by government. The family reunification law that we have at the moment is very clear and it's very narrow for specific reasons. It's between a parent and a child. That's not going to change because of this referendum. We're talking about recognising a family, but when it comes to government making decisions, when it comes to a minister, particularly on immigration laws, I as minister, and the senator will know this as former minister, has to take into account certain things, looking at security, looking at the implications that might have
overall. So Neil Richmond was wrong there, was he?
Well, yes, because this is not going to change the laws that we have now. There are not going to be suddenly an influx of people coming saying that they now have a different application that they can apply here, because the law is very clear. It's very narrow for very clear purposes. And if any Supreme Court judge were to change that, they have to take into account the common good overall, but also what was intended by this. And that's not what was intended.
Do you accept that, Michael?
Neil Richmond sat where you sat at the moment, Helen, and he told Clare that there would be serious consequences. And I'm in a position now just to remind you that in 2022, a case was brought against you as minister by a Croat national. And he had married a Brazilian girl in Belfast and he had brought her back down here and your department gave her a 5-year work permit. They split up after 1 year and he met a Colombian girl. And she was a student in Ireland and she wanted to resist deportation. And she then decided that she would claim that she was part of a durable relationship. And your department said, this is ridiculous. You have one married a person and one contemporaneous durable relationship claim being made for two women to remain in Ireland. And that case was referred in 2022 to the European Court of Justice. Now, it hasn't proceeded there for different reasons. But, I mean, this shows the confusion that there will be in immigration law. And your department was on the receiving end of this and you are named as the respondent in those proceedings.
And you're talking about a case that's happening now before any change. There will always be people who will contest the laws that we have. There will always be people who will try and claim asylum or try and claim family reunification or try and prevent themselves from being deported, and they will use different types of case laws. But our laws are very clear when it comes to family reunification, how they apply and how they should be applied. Changing our constitution on Friday by voting yes to recognise other types of families doesn't change that. As minister, on security grounds or any other grounds that I deem fit, I can set out the laws when it comes to immigration. Well, that will not change. So the case you're referencing is before we've even had any change.
Would you acknowledge that you could face increased court challenges on this, given elevating durable relationships or inserting durable relationships into the constitution, that people will look to use that in order to win their case in the courts?
They may. But there are always cases brought to the Constitution. There are always cases brought to the Supreme Court. But it is for government to decide on immigration law. And it's set out very clearly and in very narrow terms why we have the criteria that we have. So to overturn that and to overrule that, there would have to be a number of factors taken into account. And that the Senator knows this.
Helen, that's precisely why Neil Richmond was right. There will be serious consequences. And that's precisely the kind of confusion that's out there. And I just want to say this. The great, great majority of people in Ireland are confused about the meaning of this term because the government chose, as you said at the beginning of this, not to define it by law because you might leave somebody out. With respect, that's not the precision that we need. And we need a system whereby those who are entitled to be regarded as families are clearly understood, and that I know if I'm in a durable relationship or I don't. I don't have to go to court to find out whether I am, and I don't have to have a row with my partner as to whether our relationship was or was not durable. We are going down the road towards chaos, and it's for that reason that I opposed this referendum proposal when it came into the Seanad, and it was for that reason that I tabled the amendment to say, please prescribe all these relationships by law if you want to make them into families. And Minister O'Gorman said, no, we'll leave it to the courts. And the result, you say the courts will decide these cases. This case was going off to the European Court of Justice. We won't decide the outcome there. They were going to decide the outcome there.
With all due respect, Senator McDowell, the only unintended consequences that we'll have if people vote no on Friday is that the million plus people in this country, the children that you've referred to, will wake up and will be told by everybody else in this country that their relationship is not a family relationship. That's the only unintended consequence. There'll always be cases, there'll always be laws, there'll always be situations that change, but our constitution means something to people. It's not a political folly. If we wake up on Saturday morning and we have lost an opportunity to tell these families that they are as important as those based on marriage, I think we've made a big mistake here.
We'll be waking up on Sunday morning, which is Mother's Day, if these two referenda go through, having taken mother out of the constitution for the first time in 70 years.
There we have to leave that. We will be discussing that care amendment after the break. But for now, my thanks to Minister McEntee and to Michael McDougall. Coming up next, Norma Foley and Pather Tobin debate the care referendum. So do stay with us. Welcome back. In the care referendum, voters will be asked to vote on whether to approve the 40th Amendment to the Constitution. It would say that the state recognises that the provision of care by members of a family to one another by reason of the bonds that exist among them gives to society a support without which the common good cannot be achieved and shall strive to support such provision. Well, joining me to debate this on the yes side is Education Minister Norma Foley and on the no side, ANTI leader Pather Tobin. You're both very welcome along to the programme tonight. I want to come to you first, Minister. The existing article, because let's talk about that because that's being deleted, refers to the importance to the common good of the life of women within the home and that the state should endeavour to ensure that mothers should not have to go out to work to the neglect of their duties in the home. Tell us the reasoning, firstly, about deleting this in order to replace it with a new amendment.
Well, I think, and this is my perspective on it, I would like to think that our constitution, it's a statement of our values, and I would like to think that it reflects all of those who provide care within the family. So, for example, I met a constituent at the weekend, John. He's a man who cares for his mother. The discussion with him actually revolved around how he would...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Get accustomed to using a hoist because they need a hoist to get his mom in and out of bed. And this guy, John, he cares for his mom. He gets her up every morning. He feeds her. He washes her. He dresses her. 24/7, he's looking after her. And yet John is invisible in the Constitution currently. And I think that's wrong. I think he deserves to be seen in the Constitution. I think everybody who provides care deserves to be seen in the Constitution, whether they are sons or daughters or dads looking after children or grandparents who are raising children. I think that's fair and equitable. And I think our Constitution, being a much valued, very, very respected and highly regarded document, a statement of our values, should reflect all who provide care within the family. So that's the reason.
And was the deletion of women and their mothers' duties in the home as important as coming up with this new amendment?
Well, again, and we celebrate what women do in the home and the care that they provide for children. That's very, very important. And in this instance, when we have the new wording in the Constitution, it will ensure that as much value that is given to that type of care, equal value is given to the care that's provided by the dad for the children. Equal care is given and status and respect is given to people like John and indeed to the grandparents who are caring for children. So it's about having a document. It's about constitutional catch-up, really, where we're saying that today we have so many people who provide care in the family and that should be respected and reflected in our Constitution.
Pather, this reference to the life of women within the home, which also references a mother's duties within the home, it has been dubbed as archaic and sexist. The minister is talking there about updating it to reflect all the care provided by different people within the family unit. Why are you opposing this change?
Yes, we would have liked to have seen the language updated. There's no doubt about that. The language is archaic for sure. But the reason why we're...
Why do you think it's archaic?
Well, I think it should have reflected both mothers and fathers within the home. Pivotally on this, it should have included an obligation on the state to provide support to carers and those who need care. I actually think that this is probably peak virtue signalling from the government. Because if the government have a choice between an empty, meaningless marketing ploy like this or actually a bread and butter support to a family, they will always go for the empty, meaningless marketing. Why? Because it doesn't cost them a penny. This particular amendment was designed, I believe, by the Department of Finance because its primary aim is to defend the government's budgets from actually providing help. What it does is it puts a ceiling on actually carers and those in need of care being able to achieve care because it locates that care in the family between family members. Despite the fact that many people with disability are individual citizens in this country and have a right to autonomy on their own level and have a right to care on their own level. And shockingly, the government didn't engage with practically any organisation involved with disabilities in relation to this. I just can't believe that the government would create an amendment that discusses in reality the care for people with disabilities in the main and not have actually engaged with any organisation that deals with people with disabilities or their rights.
OK, let's get to that charge, that accusation around virtue signalling here. What would you say to that minister that, you know, what you're doing and what you're proposing actually confines care, some would argue, to within the family and removes the obligation on the state?
I would completely reject this notion, this fanciful phrase of virtue signalling. If you like, I could say the exact same thing to you, Pather, that you're virtue signalling, but in a different instance. And in relation to...
How so?
Insofar as the points that you were making here that, you know, carers are not being catered for, care outside the home. Let's be honest, over €1 billion is being spent by government on carers allowance. There's more than €1 billion on home care packages, more than €1 billion on Fair Deal. And is it enough? And is it happening quick enough? Absolutely not. And that's the reason that I'm actually in politics. I have no doubt it's the reason, Pather, you're in politics too, to do more, to become more, to provide more for the people we represent. But you cannot argue with the figures in terms of money that is being put into the whole area of carers. And why is it reflecting and why is it focusing on family presently? Because in this instance, what's currently in the Constitution refers to the care by a mother, by a woman, to her children within the family. So the first premise is around the family. So what we're actually saying is that all other care should be recognised. And one thing I do want to say, if we only have in the Constitution the care that a mother provides to her child, who's caring for the mother? And I know the length and breadth of this country, there are sons and daughters caring for their mothers. And they are doing it, and I just want to finish on this point, they're doing it faithfully, they're doing it lovingly, they want to do it, but they also are invisible in this Constitution. They need to be recognised. They deserve to be recognised in the Constitution.
Okay.
Yeah, so care has never been as devalued as it is at the moment. Right now, we have childcare providers that are closing on a weekly basis. We have nursing homes that are closing on a monthly basis. We have children being put in state care, Norma, who are actually going missing at the moment because they're put into unregulated care units. And, you know, when, you know, you mentioned about the constituents with the hoist. I know of an elderly woman who has to care for her son, has to lift her son because she can't get a hoist at the moment. And the cat was out of the bag a number of times with the government because every time you ask them, you pin them down as to why they won't put an obligation, they will say because the Constitution shouldn't be a place where budgets are concerned. They say that the governments are the people who decide budgets and budgets shouldn't come into decisions of the Constitution. And that's patently untrue because, in fact, the Constitution guarantees the rights to primary education to children. And there's a budgetary cost to that as well. So that's I just can't understand that we have a situation where the Citizens' Assembly put in the idea of an obligation and the government said, no, we're not going to put any exposure financially to ourselves on this. We will do the 20 million marketing trick in terms of holding a referendum on that. But the day after this is passed, if it is passed, there will be no material benefit in relation to people with disabilities or carers. In actual fact, FLAC have said that this particular amendment is inherently sexist because in the majority of cases, it's the mothers or women within the homes that are caring for people. Because the government has insulated itself from this, it will remain the majority of cases where women and mothers will be the carers.
If I could just reply to that, in the first instance, I want to be very clear. And you reference FLAC, OK? I could also reference to you Family Carers Ireland, who are representing the carers, who are actually endorsing this, and they are calling for, in fact, a yes-yes vote. These are the people who are at the coalface. Equally so, you reference the constitutional right to education. You're correct, it is there for primary school. But the state, you will be aware, that Donal O'Malley introduced free education at post-primary, and I'm attempting to do my own bit with the introduction of free textbooks at primary school and free textbooks announced yesterday for children at junior cycle. So the state will always step in where the state needs to do what it needs to do.
We don't have free childcare, just to clarify just on that. I mean, you're talking about all the steps of the way in primary education, secondary education. Indeed. I mean, we don't have free childcare in this.
But what we do have, the state has stepped in and the state has reduced the cost of childcare by 50%. And do we need to do more? We absolutely do. And is that what we're working at in government and indeed what Minister Roderick O'Gorman is working at? Absolutely. But that's the cases and the points that you are raising are outside of what's fundamentally being proposed here. Because what is being proposed is the Constitution, which is the backdrop to our society. It absolutely needs to be updated. For example, we are saying that women who choose whether they should work in the home or whether they should choose to work outside of the home, that they should be equally valid choices.
Here's the deal, though. Like, this is how detached the government is. In my constituency, I have mothers and fathers who are getting up at 6:30 in the morning. They're travelling an hour and a half to work. They're dropping the kids in childcare. They're working a 9-hour day. They're doing it all in reverse. And they tell me they hardly get to see their kids at all. They say if they get a half an hour in the evening to put their kids to bed, that's the height of it. They are doing that treadmill, economic treadmill, because of the economic necessity that your government is forcing them on due to enormous rents and enormous mortgages. And actually, David said the opposite that they would like. They would love the opportunity to be able to spend maybe a year or two or three in the youngest years of the child at home looking after them, but they simply can't do it. And actually, this archaic article that it may be at the moment actually has a real protection on it. It has been cited in numerous Supreme Court cases. For example, in the 1980 Murphy case, where it was cited that it actually prevented an income tax law coming in that would disadvantage families. It was cited in the 1992 L versus L case, where it actually was cited that it would protect maintenance and alimony for mothers. And there's actually a live court case at the moment where a mother battling with the state, who's refusing to pay her actually the carer's allowance in full. She's a mother of a person with a severe disability. And her case hangs on the basis of this article. And a panel of Supreme Court judges have said that there is a systemic importance to this case. If this amendment is passed on Friday, her case falls, and possibly to the rights of thousands of other women in the future to be able to get a proper carer's allowance.
And I want to be very clear about this. You've referenced two cases, L versus L. You know for a fact that that is catered for in primary legislation. You know for a fact that that is dealt with under the Family Law Act of 1996. And you also referenced the Murphy case. Let's be clear now, because we can all quote legal examples here, but let's quote them accurately. And the Murphy case that you specifically reference here, that case actually pivoted and turned on the provision of the special status that is given to marriage. And that remains within the Constitution. There will be no change to that special provision. And I think it's very, very important that we would look at, for example, I looked at something recently. It was these, you know, the letters to Gay Byrne. I actually bought it for my own mother. And I noticed in that they spoke about and referenced things like the marriage bar. Women who got married in this country up to 1973, they actually had to give up their jobs. We also know, and one other one that I didn't know about that came to my attention as well, was the Family Home Protection Act of 1976. Up until 1976 in this country, a husband could sell the house under the feet of his wife without her even being consulted. So what we're trying to do with this amendment as it's being proposed is push that boulder up a little more up that hill where women are not being represented fairly, where they're not seen accurately, and indeed not just women, but indeed all carers not being recognised.
So I think it's important to challenge some of this misinformation, to be honest, because first of all, a marriage bar existed in many European countries. It doesn't exist now, and that article is still in the Constitution. A marriage bar was absolutely wrong. It didn't hang on this article whatsoever, and that's very clear in this situation. It's also important to reiterate that, yes, in the Murphy case, the element of this article, it did influence a decision on it, and the judge stated so when that decision was made as well. I think the key point in this is we had an opportunity to provide real supports to carers and people in need of care. What the government have done is actually they have watered down any rights that people can hang challenges to the government on in future. And that's we will have a step back in relation to rights if this is passed.
Can I put that to you, Minister? And I know Pather referenced it before about we got recommendations from the Citizens Assembly. They came back with, in addition to what you're proposing and what's been put to the people, that actually it would oblige the state to take reasonable measures to support care within the home and the wider community. A joint Oireachtas committee on this also said it would provide reasonable measures to support care within and outside the home and the family. You chose not to do that. Why not?
In the first instance, just around the type of language and strive and like Ms Justice Baker herself, the chair of the commission, has said that's a very, very strong word and that there is now going to be an obligation on
there
government.
There is no obligation.
I'm just saying there is going to be, well, strive will be part of the wording in the Constitution. And we already see, and I've already outlined, the efforts that have been made by government in terms of caring. And we will continue to do that. But specifically, you reference why it's care within the family and not extended outside of that. It is care within the family because what's currently within the Constitution refers to the care that has been provided by mother to child within the family.
Was there an opportunity lost here? Well, because that's what disability advocates and others are saying, that, you know, the referendum has been partly sold on the removal of sexist, outdated language. And what we're replacing it here is, you know, outdated, ableist language around the burden of care and not extending it beyond the family.
But it is not. Like, I mean, I would disagree there insofar as I'm saying to you, for the first time, all those within the family who provide care, whether it is the son, the daughter, the grandparents, the dad, who is not currently recognised, who are currently invisible. They will all be part and parcel of this constitution
going
forward.
But the wider community
won't. And again, because currently we are talking about the article that deals with the care of children within the family.
If this is dealing, I suppose, if this is dealing with family, then that's how the government has looked at this when putting a vote to the people.
This is not an opportunity lost. This is an opportunity dodged. Look at the record of the government in terms of dealing with people who need care and in care. This is a neoliberal response to a cry out for help for hundreds of thousands of people who are working, saving the country billions of euros, who are working maybe 18 hours a day in extraordinary circumstances. And the government has basically put up a wall and said, you will not get any help from us in these terms. And you talk about the family, and
when they talk about striving to support a provision, what about that word strive? And we've heard that, and we've heard it from the Taoiseach, that it obliges the state to strive to support.
The word, it's not obligation. I strove not to eat junk food when New Year's happened. It didn't last long, to be honest. Strive is a get-out-of-jail clause that the government can use in any situation to say, because of other economic issues that we have, we are not able to provide care in this scenario. But remember, this country is in surplus to the tunes of billions at the moment, and yet we have counties with no respite care whatsoever.
But there's nothing to stop the government of the day doing something about that.
There's nothing stopping the government of the day doing the work now. And this is the issue. Like, I would ask the government, are you striving right now to help people with disabilities?
Indeed. I want to reference where you have already said that in terms of some of the cases that you said.
But
that
are you striving now to help carers?
Indeed we are.
So what is the point of this?
Over 1 billion euro has been expended. And I've said earlier, is that enough? No, it's not. And I would want us to do more every single day. That's why we're here.
So but Claire, if I could know, I think just one brief point.
In.
If the minister is saying that they're already striving right now and there are such massive gaping holes in terms of the delivery, why would we believe that come Saturday, the government striving will be any more effective?
All right, Minister.
Again, if I could just say, you have referenced earlier that the cases, whether it was the Murphy case or the VL case, that didn't, like, that the Constitution had no bearing there, basically, is what you've said. And what I'm saying to you is the Constitution...
The Constitution did have a bearing.
No, but what you're saying is that they didn't hang. I'm saying to you, they did not hang on the provision that's there already for women. They didn't, and that's
incontrovertible. Read the cases, Minister. They're very clearly. Read the cases.
What we are saying is that the Constitution is the backdrop. It sets out the values of our society. And we are saying that currently within our society, there are a whole myriad of people. There are people at home tonight who are caring, men who are caring for children. There are people who are caring for parents, grandparents, for children. They're not recognised. They're invisible. We have an opportunity to right that wrong. And equally so, I want to say to you, we have young girls, we have young women, where we should be able to say to them, I taught for nearly 30 years and I would have said to my girls every single day, my ambitions for you are limitless. I want you to succeed in whatever you choose to succeed. And let me just finish this point now. Succeed in whatever you choose to succeed. Many of them now are young women. Some of them have chosen to work in the home. They're validated in our constitution. Some of them have chosen to work outside of the home. They are not validated. They deserve better.
Pather.
So, like, you know, first of all, I just think that there is an incompetency amongst the government in relation to this. I think, first of all, the Constitution is not just recognising people. It's not a hallmark card. It's actually the location of the human rights of the citizens of this country and the obligations of the state. It's not just about window dressing or tinsel on the Christmas tree. It's about providing real constitutional rights to people. And also, it's about recognition of people too. And I will say, people will be celebrating Mother's Day on Sunday. And it is incredible that many TDs will be posting on Twitter, etc., saying how important, how pivotal that their mothers were in their lives. Okay. And yet you'll be asking people on Friday to delete the only reference to mothers.
Okay, we will have to leave it there. To be fair now, you have referenced that there's a constitutional right to education. There's only a constitutional right for education to primary school. And yet the state provides it at post-primary.
Okay.
You can't have it
I'm
both
sorry,
ways.
Minister. We are out of time. My thanks to Minister Foley and to Pather Tobin. Voting in the referendums takes place on Friday. Coming up next, Nikki Haley drops out of the race for the White House. We get the latest live from Washington. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's down to a battle of the incumbents in the US after Donald Trump's only Republican rival for the White House nomination, that's Nikki Haley, pulled out of the race. Mr. Trump will now face a rematch with US President Joe Biden in November. I'm joined now live from Washington by US correspondent Simon Marks. Simon, thank you for joining us tonight. Nikki Haley, as we say, bowing out of the race for the White House, I suppose at long last, but not surprising after the clean sweep for Donald Trump last night. What did she say today, though, about endorsing her Republican rival and his campaign or not?
Well, she notably withheld her endorsement, Claire, and she channeled her inner Margaret Thatcher. She's a big fan of the former British Prime Minister and quoted Margaret Thatcher saying, "Never just follow the crowd, always make up your own mind." And she threw down the gauntlet for Donald Trump. She issued him with a challenge. She said he needs to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And there was no indication here today that President Trump was ready to grasp that olive branch and accept her challenge. Indeed, he, in a statement, said that he had trounced Nikki Haley and made very little effort to appeal to her voters.
OK, so what will now happen to Haley's support and the votes? Where will they go if it is the anti-Trump vote?
Well, that's the big question, and it's going to be the big question for the next 8 long months of this election campaign. Joe Biden today appealed to Nikki Haley supporters to give him a look. He said they would be welcome supporting his campaign. It's hard to know how many of those voters are determined never Trumpers. One survey in North Carolina suggested that 81% of Nikki Haley supporters there said they would never back Donald Trump. But in other states, that number was substantially less. And we saw one major reversal today by a prominent Republican, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, a ferocious critic of Donald Trump over the January 6th riots in 2021 on Capitol Hill. Today, he came out and endorsed Donald Trump because he said he had always insisted that he would endorse and support the eventual nominee of the Republican Party.
OK, well, is it likely now to be the final lineup, Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, Mark II? Or could there still be changes given the unease among the Democrats about Biden's health and his age and Donald Trump's upcoming court cases?
I mean, look, absolutely anything can happen. We're in for an unprecedented 8-month general election campaign here. Joe Biden had a clean sweep last night as well in the Democratic Party primaries, and I think is feeling very confident ahead of his State of the Union address tomorrow night here, where he is bound to make another pitch for Nikki Haley's supporters to come and align themselves with him. But look, we've got an 81-year-old Joe Biden and a 76-year-old. Donald Trump running for the presidency. Anything can happen between now
and
November.
Simon Marks, as always, thank you. That is it from us. Our programme is available as a podcast on all major platforms. But from all the late team here, good night. Do take care.